Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you've been with us the past few days on Abounding Grace, you know that we have been looking at this inward turmoil and struggle that the Apostle Paul outlines here about the Christian life. And he's been honest about it. He's been real. And here in Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says something that is very, very profound, but also very real to us as Christians. If you are a Christian today listening, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Putting this together for us today, I highlighted at the end of yesterday's program a concrete example of what this looks like, and I want to share it again today because maybe there were some who didn't listen yesterday. We see it in the life of Peter. Remember what he said to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said, "Look, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." And Peter replies, "Look, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Do you hear that deep desire of his heart? It was deep. It was committed. He loved Jesus. And yet, in just a few hours, he would be standing with Christ's enemies, having denied him three times. And when he wept, what do you think went through his mind? Give me some steps for practical living? No. "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I'm so unworthy of you, Lord. I did the very thing so boldly I said I wouldn't. I said I would be committed." I mean, he denied Jesus. And yet Jesus comes to him and restores him. And he restores him three times in John at the end of the book. "Do you love me, Peter?" Remember that word is agape, the deepest love. And Peter uses a different word. "You know that I love you." But he refused to use the same word that Jesus used because his actions had done something so different than what he desired in his heart. But he loved him still. And Jesus asks him again, "Do you agape me, Peter?" And then he uses again the different word for love, phileo. "I have a deep affection for you. I wish I could say I agape you. It's my desire, but I do love you. There is a love there, but I can't say it with the way that you say it." And a third time, "Do you phileo me?" Jesus comes to Peter's level. "Do you really love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know all things." In other words, you know my heart. "Oh yes, my actions were different than really the expression, and I'm ashamed of them, but you know that I love you." That's the struggle of the Christian life. And you know, John Newton, I left this quote with you yesterday, and I think it's such a profound quote. You remember the slave trader John Newton, who had such a bad life for so many years, and when he came to Christ, this is what he said: "I was ashamed of myself when I came to Christ. I am more ashamed after." Why do we face this? Why do we have to go through this as Christians? Paul answers in verse 17 of Romans 7, "It's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Verse 20, "Now if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." And then again, verse 23, "This law of sin is leading me into captivity." Paul's not excusing sin here. What he is saying is simply, the reason this warfare goes on is because, verse 24, the body of sin is still present. Most Christians today would say, you know, what you've presented this week is sort of defeatist, isn't it? Talking about this sin thing all the time. You surely aren't going to make any progress that way, are you? Why are you leaving people down? That can't be God's design. Well, Paul has outlined this for us. It's real. I know where this is. I could stand up, I could be on Abounding Grace every week and give you some principles to help you along your way, to be a better businessman, to help you with your golf game, to be positive, all these sort of things, to make you feel good, ultimately to numb your pain. But the fact is, God has called you into this struggle. If there's anything to take from this message this week, it's that. God has called you into this struggle. This is not some defeatist attitude, because for the Christian, the outcome is certain. The victory will come through the struggle. I mean, that's why Paul's going to say, put on the armor, because you're in a warfare, Christians. The answer is what? Oh, wretched man that I am. The first answer, that's Romans 7 there, 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. The first answer is to begin to be honest about ourselves. That's the problem today. We're not being honest. You see why it's so problematic for someone to say, I don't want to hear sermons that make me feel low and expose my sin. You know what it tells me as a pastor? Not only are they not low enough, but they're not even in the struggle. They would do well in Joel Osteen's church. If you're really in this struggle, what comes from the church and the pastor is simply an affirmation of what you're feeling. Here's the cry of the Christian. Who will rescue me from this body of death? It's a longing desire in the heart. Do you know what the body of death was? Back in Paul's day, it's a horrible thing, but they would punish a criminal who committed really bad crimes by attaching a dead corpse to the guilty party. And that corpse would rot on the offender so that within a few weeks, the disease would overtake him and kill him. Who will rescue me from this body of death that's killing me, says Paul. Back in chapter 6, what did Christ do for you? If you're a Christian today, what has he done for you? He's killed the old man. Remember he said that in Romans 6, he said, there, our old man was crucified with him. So he's killed the old man. And then he goes on, that the body of sin might be done away with. This present body of sin and death is still present. That it is now being slowly killed, but will forever be put away when we receive our new resurrected bodies. Oh, wretched, miserable man that I am. It's not until that day, though. That cry is a constant cry, because he who says he has no sin, 1 John says, is a liar and the truth is not in him. And if he still has sin, that means he's in a struggle, saying, who will rescue me? The answer? I thank God, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's not defeatism. That's victory. Because the life that I live by faith in him. My life is hid in Christ. For some reason, in the Christian faith today, we think this gospel's for the lost. You know the gospel's for the Christian daily? If you know this struggle, then you come to the fountain of grace daily. You are coming to sweep your house daily to have such an honorable guest live there. If you know this struggle, you've come to the fountain of living waters to be renewed, washed, forgiven, picked up, and strengthened. This is the cry of the Christian. This is the life of repentance that's demonstrated that God in Christ calls us to. You will make this and be in this struggle for the rest of your life until Christ comes again and takes away the body of death. Notice that is future here. So it's the only real emphasis here on future. Who will rescue me from this body of death? There is a time coming when you will know this struggle no more, Christian, and sin and death will be forever destroyed, and you will be given a newly resurrected body, never again to know these miseries. But until then, Paul says, I die daily. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but listen to this, further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And he will show in the next chapter that though this warfare goes on, There is progress in the Christian life. There must be, because the Spirit is there helping you put to death the deeds of the flesh. Oh yes, there's victory over sin. The Bible expects it, but through whom? The very next chapter introduces us to the glorious work of the Spirit. I mean, this is Galatians 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So I ask you today, has what I described this week been characteristic of your life? The Christian life is a denial and fight against sin. I mean, that's why it's called a warfare. You're to put on the armor of God to fight against principalities and powers and these sort of things. Paul was not describing this struggle with his head low and depressed. He was realistic about his life, about his sin, and so we must be. I think something is terribly wrong in the church when everyone runs around saying how great they're doing. Life's great. Really deep down, if you're a Christian and you've identified with what I've said tonight, often you're going to be saying in my inward man, I'm not doing great, I'm struggling. And if you're honest, you're going to say, I love the Lord, but I'm constantly being knocked down. Why don't we start leaning on one another as Christians? Instead of trying to show everyone how great we're doing and show everyone else up and show people how wonderful we are. When people ask, why don't you say, you know, I'm struggling. I'm struggling with sin and I need your prayer. Let me lean on you as we look together to Christ. Because you are up and down, and I know that if the convictions that we've talked about this week are there, and you are in this struggle, you will be striving for righteousness. But be encouraged today, my friends. And know that the Roman 7 man is real. It's a real struggle. And remember, I think of the great words of Charles Spurgeon. A heart that is full does not need Christ. Hearts that are empty are ready to be filled by Him. Hearts that are struggling with their sin and crying out are ready for Christ to come and lift them up and assure them of their love. And you know what Romans 8:1 begins with? We'll come to this next week. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We spend just a few minutes a day together, but it's our hope and prayer that those few minutes help you grow in your understanding of God's great love for you and I in His Son, Jesus Christ. As always, questions, comments, and prayer requests are more than welcome. We'd love to dialogue with you, especially as it relates to our union in Christ. You can call us 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you would like to write to us, the address is 8650 Benson Road. We're here in Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, as always, you're welcome to contact us by phone, especially if you would like directions to the church. If you're planning on a visit, we'd love to see you. We meet at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. on the Lord's Day at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. Directions, again, call 360-318-0429. Or better yet, visit our website. Learn a bit more about us here at United Reformed Church in Linden and Abounding Grace, who we are and what we believe. LindenURC.com. Again, LindenURC.com. We even have a map, directions to the church, if you'd like to join us. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.